This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Life presents us with many opportunities that can confuse our judgment about which road in life we should take. Whether we're just starting out on our journey and heading down this road, hoping that it leads to somewhere, all of us know it's a real possibility. It just may lead to nowhere. Clearly, life demands we be vigilant and suited up, spiritually prepared and ready to contend with the circumstances that our lives experience, and of which require all of us to respond so results may be achieved. So allowing ourselves to be lethargic, lackadaisical, or lukewarm will not serve us well in life. No, this kind of indifference can lead to failure and rejection. Even God is not pleased with a dismissive attitude toward responsibility. So stay with us as we explore the dangers of being lukewarm on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. What I want to call today's program is, don't be lukewarm. Don't be lukewarm. Now I'm going to get to why I'm calling today's program that, but let's think about being lukewarm for a moment. What's wrong with being lukewarm? It's kind of right in the middle, isn't it? It's partly hot, it's partly cold. What are you doing if you're lukewarm? You're sitting on the fence. You're not committing one way or the other. Now, this admonition not to be lukewarm is in the book of Revelation. And what I want to do is I just want to read something in Revelation chapter 1, down in verse 11. It says, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. We're going to focus on the church of Laodicea and what was written to them, because the admonition to them was, don't be lukewarm. But I just want to let you know that this message also went to the six other churches which were in Asia at that time, what would be considered Western Turkey today. Let's turn in our Bibles over to Revelation chapter 3. And I'm going to read the letter to the church at Laodicea, and then what we'll do in the remainder of the program is look at what was meant by what was written here, and what can we learn today as a church from what was written here to this particular church. So picking it up in Revelation 3 and verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hopefully we have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to this church at Laodicea, because it could have something to do with how we are operating as Christians today. Now, I want you to stay with me. I'm going to offer you some free literature and also a free CD right now, and then we'll get back into the details of what was said to the Laodicean church. What we'd like to offer you today is a CD titled Endure and Bear Fruit. As Christians, we need to understand that we've got to bear fruit. We've got to endure to the end. Please get this full-length sermon CD by Dean Roberts titled Endure and Bear Fruit. We also want to offer you some literature. We want you to get How to Be Used of God. We need to understand how we need to operate as Christians. Get this literature free of charge, How to Be Used of God. To get both of these items, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Welcome back, everyone. What we're looking at today is the admonition in the book of Revelation to the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, saying not to be lukewarm. We want to understand what the Spirit meant when it said not to be lukewarm. Before we get to that, though, what I need to do is I need to give you some background information on this church at Laodicea. What can we learn from history that will help us understand why this church was lukewarm, why they were not cold nor hot? What was going on at this time in history, and we're looking at the 80s, the 90s, AD, what was going on with this particular church that this admonition was stated to them not to be lukewarm? And what can we as Christians learn today about not being lukewarm? Let's talk a little bit about this city of Laodicea. It was a mid-sized city at the time that this particular letter was written, when we look at the cities in the Roman Empire of that time frame. And Laodicea was once called Rhoas. That was an ancient name for the city. It was also called Diospolis, and during the Greek era, it was called the City of Zeus. So these were some of the names before it was known as Laodicea. But in about 260 B.C., a fellow named Antiochus II became the leader over this particular part of the world. If you remember Alexander's empire, it was split into four parts. One of these parts was taken over by the Seleucids, and Antiochus II was part of that line of those particular kings. He had a wife named Laodice, and Laodicea took its name from his wife and had that name as we come down into the first century of the Christian era, and that is the name we are reading about here in the book of Revelation. Now, this was known as an affluent city. The people of this mid-sized city were known to be wealthy for the most part in comparison to other cities in the Roman Empire at that particular time. And you can contrast what is said about the city of Laodicea compared to these other six churches within Revelation 2 and 3, and you'll see some major differences in description between these seven cities that are addressed in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. But let's understand a little bit more about this particular city of Laodicea. And to do that, I want to give you a little bit of historic information. Now, going back to about 62 BC, there was a proconsul over this particular city at the time known as Flaccus. And Flaccus confiscated about 20 pounds of gold that Jews in the city of Laodicea were sending to Jerusalem for the temple at Jerusalem. Now, 20 pounds of gold, no matter where you are at any time, is nice to have. But at this particular time, that would show that the Jews in that city at that time were affluent, were wealthy, to have that much gold to send off to another city to support that particular city. Another interesting thing about this city is archaeological digs in the ancient city of Laodicea found something interesting. What they found was that this particular city, for being a mid-sized city, had many more porticos, and a portico is basically a porch that leads to the entrance of a building. This particular city, when it was excavated, was found to have many more of these porticos. And a portico is a luxury item. You don't need to have that with a building. This particular city had many more than other mid-sized cities within the empire at that time. Another thing that was found in this particular city within the archaeological digs was many more baths. There were many more baths in this particular city than other mid-sized cities in the same time, in the same area within the Roman Empire. Once again, everybody wants to take a bath, but this was a luxury that not everyone had access to all of the time. And finally, one other structure that was common in the city of Laodicea in comparison to other cities was agoras. And agoras were merely gathering places. But again, what this shows us is if they had more gathering places, that people had more free time in this particular city. And again, that shows that this city had more people who were affluent, more people who had a little extra money to burn than some of the other cities in the Roman Empire at this particular time. Now, keep that in mind. That's important when we go back into Scripture and read what is said specifically to the city of Laodicea. One other bit of information I'd like to give you from history that plays into this is that there were some earthquakes within Western Turkey during this time frame, during the first century AD. One occurred in 17 AD and another occurred in 60 AD. Now, in 60 AD, we have historical information that the emperor at that time, Nero, offered assistance to the city of Laodicea to help them rebuild after this earthquake. Interestingly enough, they didn't want any help. They had enough resources to rebuild the city on their own. That is very unusual, to not take help from the Roman emperor. They felt that they had enough, they could take care of themselves. They were a proud people. Now, keep that all in mind as we begin to look at the scripture that we read earlier at the top of the program. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 3, and let me pick it up again in verse 17. He says, "Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing.'" Now, that sounds like something that an arrogant person might say, and many commentators believe that because of the wealth of this city, the attitude of some of the people who were Christians, some of the people who were Jews at this time, may have become a little arrogant. And you can see that within what the Spirit is saying to this particular church at this particular time. Notice what it says right after that. Do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? So economically, they were well off. But it seems that that economic power was doing something to their spirituality. Therefore, they were called lukewarm rather than hot or cold. Now, something else that needs to be said about this has to do with the emperor at the time that the book of Revelation was written. We believe the book was written around 90 AD. We believe the emperor at that time was Domitian. Between 81 and 96 AD, he was said to be the Roman emperor. Now, why does this play into what we're reading about with the Laodicean church? Here's why. Domitian was a little bit different than some of the other Roman emperors. You've probably heard that the Roman emperors said that they were gods. But most of them said that before they died, they said that they would be gods after death. So the idea within the empire was that the emperor would become a god after he died. Domitian was different because he said, I'm a god right now, and I want to be worshipped as a god right now. Now, some Romans had issue with that, but Domitian was the emperor, and what the emperor wanted, the emperor got. Now, think about that from this standpoint. This emperor wanted to be worshipped as God. We know from Scripture that if you're a Christian, you only worship one God. So he demanded worship of the cities in his particular empire, and this would cause some problems, especially for an affluent city, because they would not get all the support that the empire could provide unless they offered worship to this particular emperor. This probably plays a little bit into what we're reading here about them being lukewarm. Some commentators believe that they were on the fence in this sense, that they were giving the emperor his due. And we know this because Laodicea was a neokoros. What that means is they were a guardian of an imperial temple. So an imperial temple, a temple to the emperor of Rome, was built in Laodicea, and they paid homage to that emperor by the mere fact that they had this particular structure built in their city. We even have coins that were minted in Laodicea that prove that they were worshiping the emperor by being a guardian of this imperial structure. Therefore, many of the commentators believe that this caused some problems for the Christians there who had some wealth, who had some money, who had economic power. If the Roman emperor decided that he was going to do something to you economically, you were going to be in trouble. And because when you do have wealth and power, it's sometimes difficult to give that up. We believe that plays into why the Spirit is writing this letter in the way it's written to those who were in Laodicea. They were having to decide whether or not to worship that Roman Empire and pay it lip service while also worshiping the true God. And maybe they were sitting right in the middle of the fence. Rather than giving it all to God, they were paying some lip service and they were giving some tribute to the Roman emperor and his position. That's what we learn from reading about the commentators and the scholars who look at this piece of Scripture that we're reading about right now. Now, another thing to mention about this is right within the Scripture. Notice verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Now notice they mention gold here, and you'll see that they don't mention gold with all these other cities that letters were written to, probably playing on that idea that the folks in Laodicea had some gold. But don't go for the physical gold is what he's saying here. Go for the real spiritual gold that I can provide you that's refined in the fire, that you may be rich spiritually. And he mentions this, and white garments. We find out from history that in Laodicea, they produced garments. They had like a small garment factory, if you could call it that, at that time in history in this particular city. And that may have something to do with putting on the white garments, which represent following God, rather than the garments that you have available to you in your city. That the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve. Now, why do they mention eye salve here and they don't mention it to the other cities? Because, believe it or not, there was a medical facility of sorts in Laodicea at this time where they produced eye salve that was given to people who were having trouble with their eyes. So when we learn about history, when we learn about the context of what was happening, the Bible opens up even more to us and our understanding becomes greater to this marvelous book. Another thing I want to show you is look at what it says in Revelation 2 verse 9 to the church at Smyrna. Notice how it is opposite of what we're reading here to the church at Laodicea. Chapter 2 verse 9 of Revelation. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. So these people seem to be poorer and suffering more than those in Laodicea, but the Spirit calls them rich because spiritually they were more solid than the people in Laodicea. So that is interesting when we learn all of this, but what does that have to do with us as Christians today? So I want to talk a little bit about that in the remainder of the program. And what I'd like to do is let's turn over to Matthew chapter 19 to do that. Matthew chapter 19. And let me just preface what I'm about to say by saying this. Rich people can be solid spiritually. Because you have money, because you have wealth, that doesn't mean you can't obtain salvation. But rich people have this to deal with. When you have wealth, when you have money, it's much harder to focus on the needs of everyone else because of all that you do have. Now notice what is said in Matthew 19, and I'm going to pick it up there in verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." So he says to him, "I'm keeping the commandments." And then let me drop down to verse 20. The young man said to him, "All these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him in verse 21, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." The young man says, but when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So we see this wealthy young man having a problem with giving it up, giving up all that physical access that he has to do what Jesus says, to give it all away completely, because Jesus knew his character. Jesus was God. He understood what was going on inside this young man's head. And these possessions were taking him away of having a solid spiritual life. So as Christians today, here's what we can learn from the example of Laodicea. We need to be careful with our wealth. We need to focus on the needs of others. We need to understand what this book is telling us about having a relationship with God and make that first in our lives. Seek ye the kingdom of God first, and everything else will be added unto you. If you've got the right relationship with God, if you are following Him completely, if you are not allowing other things to become idols in your life, like wealth. Wealth can become an idol. Having all the latest gadgets, the fanciest cars, the biggest houses, they can become an idol in your life. And just like the Laodiceans, it can take you away from your relationship with God. This matters when we come to the end, right before Jesus Christ comes back. Notice in Revelation chapter 13, I'm going to pick it up there in verse 16. And He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of His name. So even in the end times, folks, in order to be viable economically, people will have to give their allegiance to this beast power, just like the Roman Emperor 2,000 years ago wanted his allegiance. This beast power will demand allegiance to him so you can be viable economically. And what we've got to do is we've got to make the decision that we're going to follow God and His way rather than this beast power and that way, which will lead to death. Let's go and be hot with Jesus Christ and what He wants, and we'll be cold to whatever that beast power wants and what He demands. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be lukewarm. Please get that literature that we talked about earlier in today's program. Get How to Be Used of God, and also get that full-length sermon CD by Mr. Dean Roberts called Endure and Bear Fruit. As Christians, we need to endure until the end. As Christians, we need to bear fruit today, tomorrow, and the next day. Learn how to do that. Get both these items free of charge by calling 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. The last thing I'll say on today's program is don't be lukewarm. Be hot for that gospel message. So long for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.